Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
It's an honor to be able to speak today. I want you guys to know on behalf of Megan and I that we love this church. I love my church. You guys, most of you guys know I grew up here. I love this church, and we love your kids. We love your families, and it's just an honor to serve you guys, and I'm honored that Pastor Brian would ask me to speak today. I want to start by asking this question. Do we have any scary movie fans out there? Anybody just love a good scary movie? Wow, not as many as I thought. Okay, I want you to hold your hands up real high. Don't be ashamed, all right? If you love a good scary movie, oh, look, more hands are going up, all right? I don't know what just happened, but more hands are going up, all right? I guess if we stay here longer, more hands will go up. All right, just hold your hands up high, all right? Look around. Everyone look around. You see these people? Something is wrong with these people. Something is wrong with them. Something is wrong with them. I have a question for all of you scary movie people. Why in God's name would you pay for someone to scare you? I do not understand. Fear is not an emotion that I want to pay for someone to bring into my life. I don't know really how it works, but I'm just wondering, is it like, boo? You're like, oh my gosh, I love that so much. Here, take my money, do it again. That was great. Scare me again, please. I just love that. I don't understand. Please chase after me with that scary clown mask. I love that so much. Here, take my money. I don't understand. So in case you can't tell, I'm not a scary movie fan. In fact, I'm not really a fan of anything that is going to scare me or jump out at me or chase me or bring fear into my life. In fact, I am quite a scaredy cat. My wife, Megan, she loves the show Criminal Minds. Any Criminal Mind fans out there? And when I say Criminal Minds fans, she's seen every episode. And I've watched many of those. I think there's over 300 now. She's watched every one. I've watched most of them with her. But that show can be freaky. And I've watched it enough now to know, you know, the music starts changing and you know something bad's about to happen. And you can get a good warning that something is about to happen, right? Well, probably a couple months ago, we're watching an episode, and it was like right at the beginning of the show. There was no music lead in to help you know that something was going to jump out. This guy rolls out of bed, and there's a clown with a knife laying beside his bed. And I jumped out of my seat so fast, it scared the daylights out of me, because it did not give me a warning that something bad was about to happen. It just happened. And so most of the time, when I'm watching Criminal Minds or something a little scary, I'm most of the time watching it like this. I can't watch. What's happening? Is someone about to die? I mean, like after, it's Criminal Minds. Someone always dies. So obviously, that's an obvious question. What's happening? Tell me what's happening. Or sometimes I'll do this and try to peek through my fingers, like that'll make it a little better. But I try not to watch. In fact, we've got a picture for you. This is a picture of Megan and I watching Stranger Things, and I don't know why. I actually like that show, but it terrifies me. But most of the show, I'm like this, closing my eyes because I am so afraid of these scary things. So when there's something that scares me, I close my eyes so that I don't have to see whatever it is. And if I don't have to see it, then I realize that it won't scare me, right? Because I didn't see it. And so most of the time, this is how I watch any type of scary things. And if you're like, Bo, Criminal Minds, you're a lightweight. That's fine. I don't care. I also eat my wings mild, so I'm a lightweight in a lot of ways. So it's fine. But I close my eyes so that I don't have to see it. And as I was thinking about that, it reminded me of a simple truth that I want to talk to you about today. And that's the things that we hear and the things that we see affect our hearts. The things that we see, the things that we hear affect our hearts. And as long as I don't have to see that scary clown with the chainsaw, then I don't have to be scared because I didn't see it, and so I won't be fearful. But you know what? It doesn't just stop there. The things we see, the things we hear affect our heart, and out of the overflow of our heart, Our words and our actions, they speak. Jonathan, are you back there? Can you bring out that door? Oh, there he is back there. Thanks. So today, the title of my message is No Evil, and it's kind of based off the old child song, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Some of you know that. Nod your head if you're with me. You know that old song, all right? And so I want to remind all of us today that our eyes and our ears are the doorways to our hearts, and the things that come out of our mouths are a direct reflection of what's in our heart. So our eyes and our ears are the doorway to our hearts, and what comes out of our mouth is a direct reflection of what's in our hearts. Luke 6, 43 through 45 says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And you know what? I've realized that even as a pastor, a follower of Christ, pretty much my entire life, I've come to realize that sometimes the things that come out of my mouth, the things that I say, the things that I do, aren't so pretty. They don't look so pretty. They don't sound so pretty. They don't sound like a follower of Christ. And I would argue that I'm probably not the only one who has a struggle with this sometimes. And I would say that perhaps the things that come out of our hearts, our words and our actions, maybe the things that come out of our hearts, our words and our actions, maybe those things aren't so pretty because the things that we are allowing into our hearts aren't so pretty either. Maybe the overflow isn't so pretty because the things we're allowing through the doors to the doors of our heart aren't so pretty either. The things we see, the things we hear. So what comes out of our mouths is a reflection of what's in our heart. What comes out of our mouths is a reflection of what's in our heart. And what's in our heart is a reflection of what we allow ourselves to see and what we allow ourselves to hear. And I would say that maybe some of us, including myself, maybe we've become poor doorkeepers to our hearts. Maybe we've become poor stewards of what we allow ourselves to see and what we allow ourselves to hear. And maybe some of the things that are coming out in our lives aren't so much like Christ because we're allowing things to creep into the doors of our eyes and our ears. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Such a simple scripture, but so much truth packed into a sentence there. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And you might be sitting out there today, and maybe you're quite the Bible scholar, and you're like, man, you know, we bring the children's pastor over. He's already got props out there, and he's talking about children's songs. What's going on here? And maybe that's true. I think this is such a simple truth, but I wonder why so many of us struggle with something that's such a simple truth. If it's so simple, if it's so basic, then why do we struggle with it so much? And so I think maybe some of us need to go back and recalibrate our hearts, recalibrate the guards that we have on our eyes and our ears, and maybe rethink those things a little bit. And you know what? Maybe you're here today and maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're not a follower of Christ. First of all, I want you to know we're glad that you are here today. We're glad that you are here. You are always welcome here. Listen, you don't have to believe in order to belong at Generations Church. We're glad you're here. And you know what? Maybe you're here and you're not a believer, you're not a follower of Christ, and maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. I want to tell you that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the church has hurt you. I'm sorry that the people, maybe people who claim to be followers of Christ have hurt you. But I want you to know this. The church is just made up of a lot of imperfect people who are trying to be more like Jesus. And do we always get that right? Absolutely not. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we say and do things that we should not do. But I want you to know that I'm sorry. But you know what? It isn't about necessarily the people. You know, I know a lot of times we look for certain things from people. And the truth is that we serve an incredible God who can heal that pain that was caused. He can heal those wounds. He can heal those things. He can make you whole again. If you're looking for that healing from people in a church, I can tell you you're not going to find it there. It starts with him, and he's an incredible God who can heal those things and make you whole again. But I just want to thank you for being here. If you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not a believer, thank you for walking through those doors today. So whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, I want to ask these simple questions today. What do you allow into your heart, and what comes out of your heart? Two simple questions. What do you allow into your heart, and what comes out of your heart? And so for the next few moments, I want to speak to you on some ways that I believe we can all do a better job of guarding the doorways to our hearts. I want to speak to you about how we can do a better job of keeping some of the evil that creeps into our life out of our heart so that when the overflow comes out in our actions and our words, those things would be pure. Those things would not be evil. So we're going to talk about some things that maybe we've allowed to creep into our doors today. And Christians, if we truly want to be more like Christ, then I think that it's very important that the words and actions that come out in our life look more like Jesus instead of the world. Would you agree? But in order to change what comes out of our mouth and what comes out in our actions, we must first look at what we let into our hearts. So one of the primary doorways to our hearts is our ears. And if the enemy can somehow just begin to speak things through our ears, then I believe he begins to take the steering wheel to our hearts. And while there's a lot of ways that I believe the enemy wants to attack our hearts through our ears, I want to just mention a couple today. The first one is gossip. Gossip. Let me ask you this. How do your ears react to a bad story about someone else? How do your ears react to that? Are you drawn to bad news about other people? Proverbs 18:8. Says the words of anyone who talks about others are like tasty bites of food. They go deep down inside of you. So think about whatever your favorite food is today and think about how delicious that is going down. That's what Proverbs says gossip is like. Sometimes it's delicious and it goes down deep inside of us. We love a juicy story, right? Especially in the church, let's be honest. I think we like to condemn things like fornication and homosexuality, but man, you give the church a juicy story, and buddy, watch out, because that thing will spread quicker than a wildfire, right? That's just the truth I'm speaking to you today. We like to judge a lot of things that the world does, but yet you give us a juicy story, and man, it is on. The party's on. But gossip is dangerous. Gossip goes deep down inside of us. And if we allow gossip to creep in through the doors of our ears, it reaches down into our hearts. It affects, and it eventually affects, what comes out in the overflow of our mouth and our actions. We've got to guard our hearts from gossip. We've got to learn to change the conversation. We've got to learn to say something positive about the people being talked about. We've got to learn to squash the rumors. How many people have been hurt by gossip? How many people have walked away from the church because of gossip? And you know what? I want us to be careful, because I think in this moment, it's so easy to play the victim card. It's so easy to think, well, yeah, I can start naming names of people who have said negative and bad things about me, and you start thinking of all these people who have hurt you. But the hard thing to do is to look inside and see the gossiper inside of you. And so I challenge you in this moment, don't begin thinking of names of people who have hurt you. Let's search our hearts and say, God, is there gossip inside of me? Have I allowed gossip to creep in through the door of my ears? Have I allowed that? I think that One of the biggest lies that the enemy uses when it comes to gossip is, well, what I'm doing isn't gossip. You see, Pastor Bo, it's not really gossip. See, I'm just venting, just getting some things off my chest. I'm just telling a friend a story, you know, it's not really gossip. How many times do we use that excuse to justify what we're doing? And listen, when I preach, I'm preaching things that God's preaching to me. So don't feel like I'm standing up here calling all of you gossipers, because I struggle with it too sometimes. Let's be real this morning, all right? But I want to give you five things. I'm going to give you five things to help us gauge, whether or not what we're doing is gossip, all right? The first thing that we can ask ourselves is it true? Is what I'm sharing, the information I'm passing along, is it true? Is the information factual? Is this made up? The sources that are telling me this, is it even reliable? Is it true? The second thing we need to ask ourselves is, will this benefit anyone by knowing this? And I'm not talking about just the benefit of hearing a juicy story. I'm actually talking about benefiting by actually encouraging, by actually lifting someone else up, building them up. Is me sharing this story going to do that? And anyone involved in this story, is it going to build any of them up? The third thing is, would you be willing to put your name to it? If everyone in the situation knew that you were the one who said that, would you be okay with that? Would you be okay with people knowing that you passed that information along? Because a lot of times, the way we end those stories is, or start them, now don't tell anybody I told you this, right? And I can assure you, for every person you tell, don't tell anybody I told you this, they're at least telling one other person. Let's just all be aware of that, all right? So be aware. Would you be willing to put your name to it? The fourth thing, would you be willing to say it to the person, to their face, in a public setting? Would you be willing to say it to their face in a public setting? And then the last one, I think this is important. They're all important, but I think this one's really important. What is your motivation behind passing that information along? What's your motivation for sharing that story? Is it self-serving? Is it to actually help that person? Is it to make you feel better about yourself? Is it to help justify something that you've done? Or is it to put them down? What is your motivation for sharing that information? I wonder what would happen if the next time someone said, well, hey, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but... I wonder what would happen if we responded to that with, well, don't tell me then. I wonder what would begin to happen. They said, well, I probably shouldn't tell you. Well, then just don't tell me. Just don't tell me. But instead, most of the time we say, oh, well, it's okay. Just go ahead. Go ahead and tell me. You've started now. Just go ahead and tell me, right? But what if we begin to shut those kind of stories down right from the get-go? Well, if you shouldn't tell me, then maybe it's none of my business. So just keep it to yourself. Don't tell me. I wonder what would happen in the church. I wonder what would happen in the world if we all began to shut gossip down like that. Those who lend an ear to gossip are a lot more likely to speak gossip. So I want to challenge you today to guard the doorway to your heart when it comes to gossip. Put a guard up. Shut it down. Change the subject. Do whatever you have to do. But let's guard our ears against gossip. Let's not give gossip a listening ear. The second thing, and perhaps this is one that isn't really discussed much in the church, is coarse joking. Like I said, maybe we don't talk about that a lot, but I feel like crude humor and jokes have slowly began to creep their way into the hearts of God's people. And through various avenues, we've opened up our ears to this type of humor, these types of things, and those things have begun to affect our heart. Now, if you know me, you know that I love to laugh. I love humor. I love to make people laugh. Sometimes I will go to incredible lengths and do stupid things to make people laugh because I love to see people laugh. I love to smile. I love to laugh myself. So I love humor, but I think the enemy has gotten so creative when it comes to getting us as followers of Christ to accept things through the door of humor. I think he's gotten really creative with that. Because everyone kind of says to themselves, well, if it's funny, then I can just say, well, it was just a joke. I mean, no harm, no foul. It was just a joke. We were just kidding, you know. We didn't really mean that. That's not what's really in our heart. I mean, we were just joking, right? And while it might just be a joke, I believe that even these crude jokes over time can really begin to affect our heart. And I believe that if the enemy can get us to laugh at certain things, then I believe over time we begin to accept those things and he begins to use our ears as a doorway to our heart when it comes to jokes and it comes to humor that may be crude, that may be dirty. And before we know it, those things that, if we aren't careful, before we know it, those things that we've continued to listen to and we've continued to laugh at as just jokes, they begin to overflow out of our hearts as just jokes. Listen, we have to be really careful with this because culture has made a joke out of everything. When you watch TV, when you watch movies, everything is a joke. They try to turn it into a joke. Have you noticed that? That's what I'm saying. The enemy has gotten very creative in this. He's made sex before marriage a joke. The role of a father is a joke. Homosexuality and sexual sin, a joke. So I want to challenge you today. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you choose to laugh at. It amazes me, all these comedy, again, I love humor, but all these comedy movies that come out now are absolute filth and trash. And I'm not here to tell you to never go to the movies. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying be careful what you allow into your ears and what you begin to laugh at, because the enemy can be very creative, that if you will laugh at those things, you begin to accept those things. And so just remember that every time you laugh, you might be opening that door to your heart a little more. And I know the old excuse, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard it before. But everyone says, well, it doesn't affect my heart, right? I keep my door closed, right? It doesn't affect me. I don't let it get into my heart. But I'm telling you, every time you laugh at those things, I believe you slowly begin to open that door more and more. And you allow those things to creep into your heart. I think we've said it. I know I've said it to little kids before. Maybe if we're having an adult conversation, or maybe you've said it to your kids. If you and your spouse were maybe trying to talk about something that they shouldn't listen to, maybe you say the word earmuffs, right? Has anybody ever said that? Put your earmuffs on. And I know maybe that's a simple thing that maybe we tell to kids, but I wonder if as Christians, maybe we should practice putting our earmuffs on sometimes. Right? Maybe we should put our earmuffs on sometimes when it comes to things like gossip and crude jokes. Maybe we should put on the earmuffs. Now, the ears are just one of the doorways to our hearts. Another huge one is our eyes. Our eyes. And in Matthew 6, 22 through 23, Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And so real quick, I want to share three ways that I believe the enemy is trying to creep into the door of our hearts through our eyes. The first one is by jealousy and comparison. The enemy wants nothing more than for you to question your identity and who God made you to be. He wants nothing more. He always attacks your identity first. And you know what? We live in a world of comparison, don't we? Everywhere you look, it's everywhere you turn, there's an opportunity to compare yourself to someone else. You constantly are seeing what someone else did and how great they are. You see how much weight somebody else lost. You see how someone conquered their fear. You see how everyone else's children are perfect and how good that person looks. I mean, comparison is everywhere that we turn, all of the time. And the enemy wants you to begin to doubt who you are in Christ. He wants to flood your eyes with the successes and the wins of everyone else so that you begin to believe and feel that you are insignificant and you are meaningless. You want to know the number one place that he does this today? Social media. Social media. While social media is an incredible tool, again, we're up against an enemy who is smart, who is creative. He knows how to attack our hearts, and he is using social media to attack the hearts of people in the church. But I know how it is. You get on there and you see what everybody else is doing. You see whatever, you know, you got left out of. All your friends went and did something and you got left out. The enemy uses these things to begin to tell you lies. You see that someone else's spouse did this or did that for their spouse, and you begin, the enemy uses that as lies. Well, look what he did for her. Look what she did for him. Your spouse doesn't do that for you. They must not love you. They must not appreciate you. Your friends didn't invite you to that. No one must care. You see how the enemy can use a simple picture on social media to create so many lies in our minds and in our hearts. He's crafty. He's crafty. You see your friends and you see their kid's birthday party and you see all the gifts their kid got, and the enemy begins to tell you, look at how good they are as a parent. Look at all the things they do for their kids. You're such a terrible parent. You're a terrible mom. You're a terrible dad. He uses these things to birth lies through our eyes and to our hearts. Hey, if I can, let me give you a tip this morning. If social media is causing you to be angry, it's causing you to be jealous, it's causing you to compare yourself to other people, then get off of social media. Get off of it. Listen, it won't kill you, I promise, all right? It will not kill you, okay? It won't. 20 years ago, you didn't know what everyone else was doing all of the time. And those people, some of you are in here today, you're still living, you're fine, all right? And so I promise it won't hurt you to get off social media for a little while or entirely, because the enemy might be using social media to plant lies in your heart through your eyes. And maybe something simple and as silly as social media, you're allowing the enemy to walk through that door to your heart through something that silly. Close that door. Delete your account. Take a break. It'll be okay. We have to guard our eyes when it comes to jealousy and comparison. Don't let the enemy put lies about your identity into your heart through your eyes. Another way that I think the enemy attacks our heart through our eyes is through lust, desiring something that is not ours. And if you can't tell by now, the enemy is trying to storm down this door, these doors to your heart. He's coming at every angle. Think about all the things we're talking about this morning. He's coming in through all kinds of different avenues, through other people, through social media, through things we see. He's coming at this door with everything that he has. He is relentless. He is constantly attacking the doors to your heart. And if we don't put up those guards, we allow him to walk right through those doors. Men, I want you to know today that God created you the way that you are. He created you to be visual. That's how God created you. God created you with a strong sexual desire, and you know what? That desire can be used in an incredible way within God's framework and his plan of marriage. But at the same time, the enemy can use those desires as a tool against your eyes to create lust in your heart. Let's not forget the very words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 27 through 28. He said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." This is what I love about Jesus. He takes everything and just turns it upside down. It says in verse 28, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." What a powerful scripture. What a challenge. What a challenge from Jesus. Lust is sin, period. Lust is sin, period. Desiring something that is not yours is sin, period. You know what? If you're struggling with this today, maybe you've been struggling with this for a long time, maybe you're a middle school, high school boy and you're in this room and you've began to struggle with this, I want you to know there is a way out. There is a way out, but you know what? It starts by starving your eyes. It starts by starving your eyes. And I know some of this sounds silly, but you almost have to treat yourself like a little kid. You got to treat yourself like a little kid. You've got to retrain your eyes. When an attractive woman walks by or comes up on a screen, you've got to learn to bounce your eyes. You've got to learn to not watch movies with sexual things in them or TV. And I know you're like, well, what am I going to watch? I don't know what you're going to watch because it's in everything. Maybe you can watch Disney, but that's getting questionable now. I don't know what you're going to watch. VeggieTales. I've got plenty of those. You can watch that. I know that it's hard. I know it's a challenge. I know that everything that they're throwing on a screen these days has those things in there. But you got to fight. You got to be willing to take your eyes off of those things. Listen, get a dumb phone. Get a dumb phone. I know a guy who will buy your smartphone today. He's sitting right on the right front row. He'll give you a great deal. He'll buy it from you. Get rid of your smartphone. Get a dumb phone where you can't access things. Put your computer in the living room. Throw your computer away. Get accountability apps for your browsers and your social media. Delete social media. You got to get serious about it. There is freedom from this, but you have to want it. I just finished reading a book called Every Man's Battle, and this truly is every man's battle. If you're struggling with this, you're not alone. You need to know that. You're not alone. It's every man's battle. And in high school, I started reading this book, and this is like the third time I've read it now. I try to read it every few years just to constantly remind myself of the boundaries and fences that I need to keep up in my life in this area of sexuality. And so if you're here today and you're struggling in this area, here's what I want to do for you. If you're struggling in this area, I would love to put this book in your hand as a resource. If you'll send me an email or a message on social media, you can come talk to me after church. I will buy this book for you and get it in your hands because it will help you. It will challenge you. It will help you get up some boundaries, put up some boundaries and some fences in your life. And most of all, it will help you to understand and know that you're not fighting this battle alone. So come see me if you're struggling with this. And real quick, I just want to address, if you're a parent of a middle school or high school boy in this room today, and you're not regularly, like, I mean, multiple times a week checking behind your middle school and high school boy on their browsers and their social media, I would almost be willing to bet there's somewhere in the 90s, 90 to 95% chance that your son is viewing things that you would not want them to be viewing. And so as parents, I know it's a tough battle. I know it is. But multiple times a week, you've got to find a way to help your son out. You've got to check. You've got to help guard his heart in these areas. Parents, when it comes to all of these things, not with just boys, but with teenagers, period, or children, don't be ignorant in this. Don't think that your child or student is doing a good job on their own of guarding the doors to their heart. They need your help. Many of you are in here like, I need help with that. Well, let me tell you, your child and your student, they need your help guarding the doors to their heart. Your child's heart is worth fighting for. Your child's heart is worth fighting for. Listen, I know that it's hard. I know that the enemy's attacking their heart from all kinds of different directions, and trying to keep up with how he's attacking you and how he's attacking your family is a full-time job. I understand. But listen, your child's heart is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Because Satan is charging the door to your child's heart with everything he can come up with. Everything he can come up with. He's bringing everything that he has. And you know what, students? Let me just say something to you real quick. I know you want freedom. I know you want independence. I know you want to be cool and want to be accepted. But listen, if you have a parent who's trying to put up some boundaries, some fences, some guards in your life, don't get mad. Be appreciative. And I know, listen, I was a teenager. I know it's hard to do that in the moment. I know that's a lot easier said than done. But I promise in 20, 30 years, if you had a parent who did that, you will look back and you will appreciate it. So don't get mad at your parents for trying to help you guard the doors to your heart by putting up some healthy parents. You can go overboard. Understand that. You can go overboard. But there's a healthy balance where parents walk alongside their kids and help guard these doors to their kids' hearts. If King David can fall to sexual sin, then so can any of us. None of us are above it. We all have to constantly recheck the boundaries and fences of our eyes. We have to guard our hearts in this area. The last way, there's more ways, but the last one I want to mention today, a way that the enemy tries to reach our hearts through our eyes is fear. We live in a crazy world, don't we? There's no doubt about it. Everywhere we turn, there's bad news, there's scary news, there's horrifying things going on. Children are dying, disease is spreading, terrorism is rampant. It's scary, right? It's scary. But I'm always so surprised to see Christians responding to these events in a way that's so surprised. Like, wow, I can't believe this stuff is happening in our world. And it kind of shocks me that a follower of Christ would be surprised, because in case you haven't read the back of the book, in case you haven't gotten that far yet, let me give you a little secret. Things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get better. Okay, you have to understand that part of this world and part of being a fallen world is things get worse before Jesus returns. That's the end of the story. And so I'm not saying we should be ignorant towards bad things that are happening and just ignore them and say, oh, praise Jesus, we're Christians, everything's going to be okay, let's just ignore all the bad in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of us, we walk in fear, and we allow fear and anxiety to control our lives and control our families and to control our walk with Christ, because we're so afraid of all the things that are going on around us, and we've allowed fear to enter the door of our heart through our eyes because of all the things we're seeing around us. But you know what? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. We know the end of the story, and if I can give you a spoiler alert, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. That's the end of the story. And again, I'm not saying that we ignore everything that's happening, but deep down, we should have some hope, because Jesus wins. And if you are a follower of Christ, if you believe in Him, then there's hope. You don't have to walk in fear, because at the end of the day, Jesus wins. So don't let the world and everything that's going on around you to cause fear and anxiety and dictate your life, because you know how the story ends. Don't allow the enemy to create fear in your heart with all the bad that you see around you. Chris, you guys, worship team, you can come. I believe if we've truly been changed by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, then our words and our actions, they begin to change, right? That's a simple truth that if you grew up in church, you've heard that your whole life. When you accept Jesus, your words and your actions, they begin to change. But you know what? Those things will never change if you don't guard the doors to your heart. You can say all you want that my words and my actions need to change, but if you don't guard this door, if you don't guard these doors, those things are never going to change. You know what? We've allowed gossip. We've allowed dirty jokes, jealousy, comparison, lust, fear. We've allowed those things for far too long to creep into our doors. We've allowed those things to walk through our eyes and through our ears and into our hearts. And you know what, church, you know what? I think it's time that we go back to this simple truth. We go back to this simple truth of seeing no evil, hearing no evil, speaking no evil. Let's go back to that simple truth and let's recalibrate our hearts a little bit and say, you know what? I'm going to do a better job of guarding this door. I'm going to do a better job of guarding what I see and what I hear, so that the overflow, the things that come out of my mouth and my actions, would be holy and pleasing to God. We will never be a changed church or a changed people if we continue to allow these things to creep into the doors of our hearts. We have to guard our heart. But you know what? This is not something that we can do alone. We can't guard our heart on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Some of us have tried to guard these doors by ourselves for so long. And there's so many things I mentioned today, but you're trying to guard this door, and maybe you finally get some kind of a grip on the lust in your heart, and you're like, man, I'm doing so good. But then jealousy and comparison starts creeping in. Why? Because like I said, the enemy is going full throttle at the doors to your heart. He's not going to quit. And let me tell you something. We as humans cannot guard these doors under our own power. It's not something we can do with our own human nature. We need the power of God. And you know what? If you're a follower of Christ in here, the same power that conquered the grave lives in you. And that's the kind of power we need. That's the kind of power we have to walk in every single day to guard our hearts from the attacks of the enemy. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we can tap into that power, why would we not use it? Why would we not use that power if we have access to it? I mentioned this a little earlier, but maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't follow him, but maybe you kind of feel a tug at your heart this morning. Maybe you've struggled in some of these areas in your life. And maybe you're here and you're saying, man, I need some help. Let me tell you today that you don't have to fight this battle alone. We serve a God who will walk with you, who will help set you free. If you're struggling with jealousy and comparison, if you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with gossip, whatever it may be that's going on in your heart today, we serve a God who can set you free from those things. And if you will give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll live inside of you and give you the supernatural power you need to help fight the attacks from the enemy. And so if you're tired of fighting alone and you're in here today and you're not a follower of Christ, I urge you today, I urge you to give your life to Jesus and see how he can change your heart. See how he can change your life. See how he will give you one of the greatest gifts he ever gave besides salvation, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and help you guard your eyes and your ears from the enemy. My prayer for us today is Psalm 19:14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Remember, what comes out of your mouth is a reflection, a direct reflection of what's in your heart. What comes out of your mouth is a direct reflection of what's in your heart. And so again, I ask you these two questions. What do you allow in your heart? What do you allow in your heart? And what comes out of your heart? What do you allow into your heart? And what comes out of your heart?
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.